Welcome to this week's edition of Flashback Friday, your opportunity to get some good review by listening to episodes from the past that Jason has handpicked to help you today in the present and propel you into the future. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in these uncertain times. We have a great interview for you today, and we will be back with that in less than 60 seconds on the Holistic Survival Show. And by the way, be sure to visit our website at holisticsurvival.com. You can subscribe to our blog, which is totally free, has loads of great information, and there's just a lot of good content for you on the site. So make sure you take advantage of that at holisticsurvival.com. We'll be right back. Hey, it's my pleasure to welcome Joe Worzelbacher to the show. Now, you may not know that name, but you probably know this one, Joe the Plumber. You've heard of him, and he is a conservative activist. We've wanted to get him on the show for many years, and he is here today to talk to us about what he has been up to for the last 5 years since his very quick rise to fame. Joe, welcome. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great today, brother. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to have you on the show. So, first of all, tell us, let's just talk for a moment and remind people about your meteoric rise to fame when you met now, unfortunately, President Obama. I'll say unfortunately. And you asked him a question, right? What exactly did you say to him and how did he respond?
Well, ultimately, about 2 weeks prior to me meeting with Barack Obama, my boss and I sat down and started discussing me taking over the business and eventually buying it from him. And I would be making payments for a very long time.
The plumbing business, right?
Plumbing business, okay. Correct. And Sunday, my son and I were watching the football game, the Bengals versus the Jets. The Jets started beating up on the Bengals pretty hard, so we went outside. We're Bengals fans, so we didn't want to watch that. So we went outside and started tossing the football, and then a group of people essentially ran down the other side of the road, walking very fast. My son and his best friend ran down there, and a couple minutes later came back and said, "Hey, it's Barack Obama." And I really, thought to myself, well, that's kind of cool. You know, I live in a very strong union city, largely Democrats. But, you know, most of my neighbors in the area are good friends of mine. But that being said, you know, he started coming back towards us, you know, going door to door, just doing some campaigning and preparing for his third and final debate against John McCain. So they finally got to us. Secret Service asked us a couple different times to stop tossing the football. Finally, I acquiesced. And, I'm sitting there, and he's sitting in my neighbor's driveway, and they're talking, and you know the crowd is just going wild about him. And I've always thought, man, if I could get a politician in front of me, I'm going to make him answer a damn question, because I always tap dance around the answers. And so that, you know, that whole thought about my boss conversation and the taxes he was talking about having to pay for me, municipality taxes, the city taxes, state, federal, workman's comp, unemployment, I mean, everything that went into owning a business. Essentially, you know, your government doesn't want you to own a business because that shows some independence. So his whole idea about taxing people that made $250,000 a year and above really bothered me. I've been instructed and encouraged to succeed. If you work hard in America, you'll succeed. This guy has said, if you work hard in America, we're going to penalize you more. And so I went up there and asked him, and I told him initially, hey, I'm trying to buy a business. It makes this much, and you think it's a good idea to tax me more, isn't it? And he, you know, came back with a very long-winded answer and ultimately discovered that he was losing his audience. And so that's when he decided, you know, he made that great statement that's followed him around now for the last couple of years, is I think it's good when you spread the wealth around.
That sounds like such an innocent idea, but we know from history how scary that becomes, don't we?
Well, without a doubt. I mean, and that's one thing that drives me nuts is people don't learn from history. It's all written down for us. This kind of behavior and these kind of theories have been out there for years, and they have not worked. And I think it's very arrogant to sit there and think that you're going to make that theory work. You know, realistically, it never works and will never work because it doesn't encourage individual success. It encourages poverty and destruction and despair.
And that it encourages all sorts of impression to enforce it. And, you know, the unfortunate thing, Joe, is most Americans just don't even know history. They have no interest in it. They're just, it's pretty scary, isn't it?
Well, it is. It comes back to our education system. Our lack of education has not been a good thing for American people or for our young children. You know, unfortunately, the parents out there don't invest a lot of time in their children when it comes to history. You know, I was lucky. My dad's a history buff. And even after my homework was done, my dad would assign more homework to us. You know, I was the only third grader reading the local newspaper every day for an hour a day. He really impressed upon me the importance of knowing what was going on in the world.
Yeah, very, very good points. Well, so how did you get your name? I mean, did the media just dub you Joe the Plumber after that? Or what, you know, how did that come about specifically?
You know, the first time I saw it, it was either on CNN or Fox News, and a little ticker that goes across the bottom, Joe, a plumber in Ohio. And then one of the media sources ended up shortening it and just said Joe the Plumber. And so the media coined the phrase, and since then I've been forever known as Joe the Plumber.
Yeah, good stuff. Tell us what you've been up to the past 5 years.
Well, since my meeting with Barack Obama, you know, I got with a couple of different organizations and would speak around the country on the importance of loving your country and being patriotic, learning your history, voting for the person as opposed to the party, which I'm very adamant for. I can't stand this whole Republican-Democrat deal. George Washington talked about party politics killing this country. And, I mean, just look around. I mean, you know, the Republicans and Democrats are constantly at each other's throats. But anymore, it's almost like, you know, big-time wrestling. They yell at each other on TV, but I bet they're all friends in the background thinking, man, we're really screwing the American people and slapping each other on the back. And so I just would speak at different events, encourage people to really look at right and wrong and stop redefining it as it gets in the way, stop rationalizing their behavior, and get involved. Because quite frankly, if we don't change what's going on, you know, our children and grandchildren aren't going to have the same opportunities that you and I have had growing up. And so that's been a big part of what I've done. And then recently I've started a website about 6 months ago, and we're getting anywhere from, you know, 450,000 hits a month. And I got citizen writers, you know, everyday people writing articles, talking about right and wrong. And it seems to really hit a good crease, if you will. A lot of people are signing on and reading it and enjoying it and sharing on Facebook and Twitter. So that's been going well. A couple years ago, some friends and I got together and we started a veterans organization up in Alaska where we take veterans hunting and fishing and helicopter rides, and we really do a lot of great things with veterans. It's called outdoor recreational therapy, and we make sure afterwards that they're getting the benefits that, you know, were promised to them by the government. We try to help them get jobs. It's called Alaska's Healing Hearts, and we work real hard on that.
Yeah, great. Good stuff. You've got some really interesting articles on your website, and one of them, you know, that I thought was kind of interesting when you look at the culture war perspective, is this, and I got to say, this doesn't totally surprise me, but I never really thought about it before, and it's about these female teachers, and this article is your child's teacher available for companionship, in quotes. Tell us about that one, and I want to talk to you about these female teachers, because this has been somewhat surprising in the news the last several years, and, you know, I don't know if it's just anecdotal, or I've just happened to notice it, or it happened, you know, all the time, but was just never really reported before, or what, but the sexuality that has come into the classroom, very literally in some cases. These two articles are about different things, but, you know, I'd like to kind of address both of them if we could.
Well, you know, that information we get from EAGnews.com, which is a great source of what's going on in the education system from state to state. They tell you what the school boards are doing, what the unions are doing or not doing, and, you know, and what some teachers are doing that are great, and then unfortunately, what a lot of your other teachers are doing aren't so great, especially your tenured teachers. But ultimately, you know, this article is just sharing with the background of some of these teachers, and, you know, does it come into the classroom? You know, a lot of these teachers are signed up on some of these websites who you know, get men to take care of them for obviously sexual relations on the backside. And, you know, ethically, morally, is that something that's going to be allowed or accepted? And you want your children being taught by women like this that are going out and have no kind of really moral compass when it comes to doing what's right and wrong. And now your children are being one way or another influenced by this. And that's the argument that's being made here. You know, I know a lot of, teachers, but there's been news stories out there that teachers were stripping and they've lost their jobs. Or a teacher, you know, years ago started in the softcore porn and she lost her job. Now it's becoming pretty, I don't want to say commonplace, but at the same time, it is happening out there. And, you know, where's the responsibility lie as far as with the parents, the school board? And is this just something that's acceptable? Is it something that they can do in their own private time and we don't worry about it when they come into the classroom? I mean, there's some serious questions to be asked here.
Yeah, there are. And it, how would you even know about it or regulate it anyway? I don't know. That just seems like a real difficult situation. I mean, because a lot of this stuff happens behind the scenes anyway. I mean, really what we're talking about is a form of prostitution. It's not on the street corner type of thing, but it's kind of part of the business deal, if you will, of a relationship. And it's a sad thing. But the only way you would know about this is if someone happens to see it advertised on a website. But if it just happened between two people that met and know each other, you'd never know. There'd be no way to know.
Oh, exactly. And you have to be careful. You use the word regulate.
Yeah, I know. And I'm scared to death of anything more. God, no more regulations, please. But
exactly. No, I think this, you know, comes down to community. If a teacher is outed for doing something like that, then I think it becomes as far as the school board's responsibility or the teachers and the parents in that community on what they want to do. Do I think the government needs to intercede? Absolutely not. But I do think it's important that if it comes to light, that it's handled in a manner that is going to be best for the children, ultimately. Not for the school board, not for the teachers, but for the children. You know, if it becomes an issue, then it needs to be addressed. But at the same time, I think it's important to know that it is happening, that it is going on out there. And that's why EAG News and JoeForAmerica.com has brought it out, so that people do know what's happening.
Yeah, good stuff. It's good that you did that. And then tell us about the other article real quickly. We're not going to talk all about teachers and this stuff, but, you know, I just wanted to touch on these two issues because they're kind of unusual and they're not much talked about. But you've got the other article about sexual favors from teachers. Tell us about that one.
Oh, well, again, we got that from EAG News. And, this one teacher was caught giving sexual favors to students in high school. If you do well in the baseball game that you're playing for our school, we'll have sex in my car, or, you know, I'll provide this kind of sexual favor to you. And, thank God she was caught. A lot of guys out there will sit there and go, well, gosh, I wish I had a teacher like that.
Yeah.
But they're missing the point, though. Yeah. You know, I mean, because, you know, when girls are molested older men, you know, everybody gets in a rage and they think it's disgusting and they can't stand it. But when it happens the other way around, it kind of gets, you know, swept underneath the rug a little bit, and they don't see it as being as dangerous or detrimental to that male child. And the problem here is it's inappropriate behavior, well, one, by an adult, because, you know, a lot of these teenage kids, regardless of the puberty and their hormones going through the roof, and forgive me for being so blunt, but, you know, finding a knot in any tree, you know, it hurts them, and they don't realize that. And for these female teachers to be predators and take advantage of their hormones and their confusion at that time is wrong, and they need to be punished to the, you know, strictest and fullest count that the law provides right now.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a huge double standard, isn't it? The way the law treats female versus males in this case. No one expects it from a female. It's only expected from a male to be the predatory side of the equation, right?
Oh, exactly. And I think if they make an example of these teachers, these female teachers that are doing it, hopefully that'll help keep it down. Now, I mean, I don't think it'll ever keep it from always happening. But at the same time, a lot of reason people don't become criminals because prison scares the hell out of them. And I think it's a good deterrent. And I think we need to really really use it, especially in cases like that. I mean, taking advantage of children, male or female, is just disgusting, and it needs to be stopped.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I'd like to ask you about taxes and regulation. You know, we can talk about your gun activism, gun right activism, whatever you'd like to talk about, really. There's so many divergent topics.
Well, I ran for Congress, and my platform really was about, bringing prosperity back to this country, back to America. And the way that we did it was with less regulations and less taxes. You know, it's historically, it's been proven that it works. But the problem with less regulations and less taxes comes less control by the government. And that's less control by the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. And that's why you don't see it happening. You know, Republicans talk about a smaller government and less taxes, but they never make it happen. If you look at Paul Ryan's rebuttal to Obamacare at one point in time, it still grew government, his budget. Yeah, we got to back off. I mean, you and I and regular folks around the world understand that if you have $5 and something costs $10, you just don't buy it. But when it comes to the federal government, they have some kind of funky math that they think they can buy it and keep buying it and putting ourselves in debt. And then the regulations, how they kill small business. And really, small business has been the backbone of this country forever and a day. And yet everything that they do kills it. I mean, from agriculture to a born-on date for your meats, that way you know where it comes from. That puts extra money and time on our smaller farmers and livestock producers. Now, some of your bigger ones that have lobbyists that can go to bat for them, you know, they're going to be okay. But your small businesses are getting muscled out left and right, and that's due through regulation. You know, our energy prices are regulated, and again, they hurt the individual and the business. Your large businesses are going to be able to get away with it because they're the ones spending the millions and millions of dollars lobbying the congressmen and senators and presidents to give them the loopholes. And the Republicans and Democrats both won't get rid of the loopholes.
Yeah, that's I'm so glad you brought that up, Joe, because what I think we have now, led by Obama, is a socio-fascist government where it's kind of like this two-pronged approach. I mean, of course, it's more than two prongs, but the big two prongs would be these. It would be on one side, let's increase the socialism component and buy votes and pay people off for voting for largely Democrats, but Republicans do it too. It's just more so with the Dems. And then, so that's the one side of it. And then on the other side of it, you have the government, quote, in bed, unquote, with these large corporations. And that would be the fascist side of it, where these big corporations have just bought off the government, whether it be Wall Street, the pharmaceutical industry, pick an industry, the food industry. I mean, it's just such complete hypocrisy that the little guy or the small business person has any chance anymore. And this thought that Obama is actually for the little guy blows my mind. I mean, there is nothing he does that is for the little guy, whether it be socialism or fascism, because both of them hurt the little guy.
Oh, absolutely. Well, if you think about it, now I just did an article on Oprah Winfrey and Jay-Z. Both of them are multi-million dollar people. You know, they've made a ton of money. They have different businesses. And they've made it to the very top. They have made it. And yet they promote Barack Obama's economy, what he wants to do, what he wants to achieve, which has been proven to hurt the American people, especially people in their own race. I mean, 48% unemployment in young blacks, and yet Oprah and Jay-Z are sitting there backing Obama. And it's you know, and it's right in front of us, happening right in front of us, that it just hurts us over and over again. And yet, you know, he'll still get the support. And the reason why that is because they know where their bread is buttered.
They know where their bread is buttered, and that's the thing. They're in an insider deal. And it's funny how it's kind of like you talked about the Republicans and the Democrats. They shout at each other and, you know, make a big display in the media. But in real life, they're all part of the same conspiracy, okay? They're all going out to the country club together and playing golf together and whatever. And this is the same thing with big business of any type. And they go on the news and you hear them say, well, we don't want all these government regulations. They're impeding our business. Oh, that's a load of crap. Because the reality is these regulations help them maintain their monopolies. They keep new entrants out of their market. I mean, Joe, do you think you and I could start a pharmaceutical company tomorrow?
No.
No way. You know, I mean, you would easily spend millions of dollars to take any drug to market. The FDA puts all these rules into effect. It's ostensibly, you know, it's for our own good, right? We don't want people making claims, this and that. And yeah, I mean, it's
well,
just...
Well, to a degree. I mean, you can even take that back to the EPA. I mean, anymore, I think that should really, honestly, except for maybe nuclear at the most, yeah, before it be a state issue. I mean, you realize how many Aaron Brockovich types are out there now watching these businesses, making sure they're doing the right thing. You know, the government essentially, you know, EPA especially, one, they're an unelected body that have control of the American people. That is unconstitutional. That is something that we need to get away from because these people make up work just to keep their jobs and get paid by the American taxpayer. At the same time, they're hindering and choking and killing the American system. And so, you know, there's no oversight by the American people. We need to bring that back down to a state level. A lot of the things that the federal government has taken over needs to be taken back to the state level. And in fact, I mentioned that in a couple articles I wrote is, you know, it's not Washington, D.C. It's not, you know, the United States of Washington, D.C. The United States of America and the government was created by the states. The states need to take a lot of that power back. And, you know, we need to, you know, Ohio, for example, where I live, they need to guard their own and protect their own and defend their own and make sure what we're doing in the state is right, not the federal government.
Yeah, no question about it. What do you think we have to look forward to, whether it be good or bad? In so many ways, the future looks bright, and in so many other ways, the future looks really bleak. We've got this huge debt hanging over our heads. Do you think we have inflation coming our way? What do you look forward to in 2016, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, I'm not an economist. I don't pretend to be anything other than what I am, and it's a simple guy who works hard and tries to keep a little bit of what I earn. But as I travel the country and see what's going on from day to day and hearing the stories of the hardship and heartache of our neighbors and friends, no, I don't see, you know, as far as the recession, I don't really see that. You know, they say that we're out of it, but most people aren't experiencing that. You know, as you print money, you make it weaker. It's one of the reasons why gas is still expensive. I mean, you know, years ago, back in the early 80s, mid 80s, if you will, what was it? A barrel of oil was about $35. And you know, anymore, that same barrel is still $35, but we got to spend $110 to get it because the dollar's gotten so much weaker. No, I don't see any change in what's going on in the economy other than, you know, the rich getting richer, and that's a Republican-Democrat thing. It's not a middle class versus lower class or anything like that. That's really just the politicians feeding their buddies and keeping the rest of America down. The only way we're going to get control back over this is if the states rear up and take back control of what they need to do. It's not going to get changed through Congress, through Senate, but it will get changed through strong state governors and strong state representatives. You know, that's how I see change taking place. Without that, my advice to most people is keep working hard, save well, live below your means, and make sure you're ready for whatever may come your way.
Well, speaking of being ready for whatever comes people's way, tell us about this the zombie apocalypse survival kit. And that's a funny it's a funny phrase, but actually the Center for Disease Control finally got some attention. That was a pretty good marketing ploy, actually, on their part. You don't usually see that out of a government agency, but to get people to pay attention to some of these concerns, you know, about disease. But what is this survival kit?
Well, the survival kit's an AR-15 that we're giving away on JoeForAmerica.com, and it's we also given 1,000 rounds of ammunition away, an evac kit and a trauma kit. And ultimately, you know, we're just having fun off the zombie deal. I mean, it's very popular right now in the last couple of years, and you know, I enjoy watching the show with my son as well. But you know, I want every American to be armed. You know, one of the things is when I lived in Alaska years ago, you didn't have drive-by shootings because everybody was packing. You know, and you know, if you have a gun on you, about 99% of the time, you're probably going to be safe, you know, unless you come across some dumb criminal. But ultimately, your law-abiding citizens need to be armed because that helps keep everybody safe. And that's what I encourage is gun ownership. Obviously, gun safety and the right way of owning, caring for your gun. My son was raised shooting all his life, and he knows all the safety procedures, and he has something important. But I want all Americans owning a gun, so we did this giveaway to encourage that. And then being prepared for what may come your way, natural disasters or unfortunately, you know, man-made disasters where some court case doesn't go the way of popular opinion, and then people, society breaks down, they start roaming the street and breaking doors and windows. You know, it's important to be prepared and be able to protect your family. I have three cops that write for me on my site, and they say, don't depend on the cops. Arm yourself, protect your family. We're just there to pick up the body. And so I want people to be armed, and then I also want them to be prepared. If you know, they can't get water for 4 or 5 days, 6 days, you know, they're going to have some kind of kit available to them, either a supply of water or a way of getting the water. And it's just important for people to understand how to rely on themselves as opposed to relying on the government or the community. And that's what it comes down to. Ultimately, you know, you've got to be able to rely on yourself, and that's what built this country, and that's what we promote, is self-reliance and the can-do attitude that built this country, and we need to bring it back.
Yeah, well, I couldn't agree more. You know, they say an armed society is a polite society, and that doesn't mean we have to live in the Wild West, but when that question mark is out there in a criminal's mind, might this guy have a gun on him? They're going to look for another victim. And that's the great equalizer. Is it's funny that the left side of the political aisle is always shouting about equality, although all of their policies make massive inequality when you look at the big picture. But they're always shouting about equality, and guns are the ultimate equalizer. A little old lady with a small gun on her person walking down the street at night is equal, in essence, to a big strapping gangster that might assault her or rob her or something. And you want equality? You want equal rights? There you go. Level the
all day long. Hey, my mom was a waitress for many years at a couple different bars, and yeah, she carried a gun, and she had to pull it out a couple times. She didn't shoot anybody, but she had to pull it out a couple times just to let these, you know, big old boys know that, hey, I mean business. It's 2 o'clock. I'm going home. And that was the end of the story. And I'm glad that my mom carried that gun.
And guess, you know, what? Those guys learned a lesson. I bet they didn't go around threatening other people after that.
Well, exactly. So no, I just encourage all Americans to own guns. You know, obviously be safe about it. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, and it also brings children and parents together. My son and I go out and shoot all the time. We go hunting together. And, you know, I give that to, you know, my son's a straight A student. He's going to graduate the senior year early and go off into the military and in college. And, you know, he's captain of the football team. He's done a lot of great things. And I really give a lot of credit to the fact that him and I spent a lot of time together outdoors, doing things together, shooting together, fishing together. That kind of, you know, lead by example. And that's one of the things that brought us together is a lot of outdoor activities. And, you know, I'm very proud of the man that my son's becoming.
Sure. Yeah. Good stuff. Well, hey, Joe, can we talk about maybe one more issue just quickly? And that is the issue of environmental regulation. And you've got an article talking about carbon dioxide, the gas of life, on your site. And what do you think is behind this whole global warming movement? I mean, certainly there are literally 1,000 arguments against that and issues you could take up. But it's funny how the left just makes so many leaps in logic with this kind of stuff. Yeah, but of course, it's to regulate everybody, you know?
Well, exactly. And everything comes back to two things, money and power. With every law they pass, it comes back to money and power. For everything they try to take away from us, money and power. You know, we're losing liberties left and right because of money and power. And it has nothing to do with solutions and making America a better place to live or making it to where Americans have more opportunities. Because if you look around, you know, we have less and less opportunities every day. And, you know, you said it yourself, a leap in logic. And that's what it comes down to. If you do your own independent research, which I really suggest, I mean, definitely look at the articles that I'm putting out because they're not opinionated. It's not slanted because I want to help Republicans out. You know, I'm an outdoorsman. I want clean air. I want clean water. I want to be able to make sure when I shoot my deer, I can bring it home and eat it. So I'm the last person that wants the environment in any way, shape, or form to be bad. But at the same time, all these regulations that the EPA are putting out are hindering business growth. They're hindering individual liberty, and it all comes down to power. And really, that's all it is. And so, with you know, global warming, they've been unable to approve it all day long, and that comes back to regulations, comes back to taxes, comes back to money. So So really, it all comes back down to money and power.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, we breathe in mostly oxygen. We exhale mostly carbon dioxide, and that's what plants breathe in. So isn't that a good scenario? Yet they're saying too much CO2. At first, when I didn't understand the whole global warming issue years ago, I thought they were talking about carbon monoxide that comes out of your car. And I thought, well, that makes sense. But that's not what they're against. They're against carbon dioxide. So the natural conclusion of that is that people have to go. People are the scourge of the earth. People are the problem. So I guess we need some tyrannical dictator to decide which people get to stay and which people have to die, right? This really leads to an incredibly ugly conclusion.
Well, if you look at the science of it, you know, they talked about back in the, I'm trying to recall all the information from this article, but ultimately, you know, the level of carbon dioxide is parts per million is how they talk about it. And the CO2 concentration, if I remember correctly, is 400 parts per million. And it has increased in the last couple hundred years by, you know, 100 to 200 parts per million. Now, if we actually try to decrease it, actually that would hurt the environment. If we actually decreased it, if we actually did what they want to do, it would decrease or it would actually hurt the environment more so because of everything that we got planted now, how the ecosystem is working, it's leveled off and balanced. And so if we actually went with the liberal agenda that's not really backed by scientific proof, it would actually hurt our environment and doing so, you know, hurt people around the planet.
Well, and the interesting thing, the bigger question we need to ask ourselves is, okay, let's say global warming is true. Let's even say it's man-made. So if we give them those 2 points, then the question we have to ask ourselves is it bad? Because, I mean, think about it. That would make so many more crops in the far northern and far southern climes arable. We could grow more food. It's just unbelievable. And then this whole concept of ocean levels rising. I guess the most of the ice is in the water already. Now, if nobody has ever had a glass of water with ice in it, and they just sat it on the table and didn't drink it, and they let the ice melt eventually, does the glass overflow? No, it doesn't.
These are very simple common sense equations you're making, but you talked about growing more food. Well, that would be a problem if we grew more food. I mean, right now they pay farmers not to grow food. You know, if we grew more food, then the prices would drop, and that would create a problem economically worldwide. You know, and they don't want that. You know, God forbid that we could get our food cheaper.
Well, wait a sec. You're being sarcastic when you say that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm being very sarcastic.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Yeah. But the ice melting does not cause the tide levels to rise unless the ice is currently on land and melts into the water. So that's the only way the tides would rise. But yeah, so we've got those 2 things covered. Yeah, so more people could be fed and helping the environment, more food could be grown more locally, closer to the source of consumption. And so that would save on transportation cost. It would be very good for the environment ultimately. So you can see that. I mean, look at what the government is regulating now. We've got all these laws regulating everything. Now they've got control of the environmental politics, which means they can restrict the way you use water, the way you grow food, the way you manufacture, and a zillion other things related to environment. And more recently, unfortunately, they got control of the healthcare system, which means they can then say, well, you can't eat this, you have to eat that, or you don't deserve this treatment because it's just not economically worth it. So we're going to do a math equation on whether you should live or die. Or the doctors who are just running to leave the business, I mean, literally, I've talked with dozens of them that say that, you know, we're going to replace them with lower quality doctors from third world countries. And like in England, I mean, people will just die waiting in line for treatment. It is really mind-boggling.
Let me address two of the things you just said. When you're talking about EPA and overregulations, people, I can't stress it enough. Those are organizations that the American people have no oversight. We have no control. These people get to pass policies which essentially become law, which govern how you work, live, and live, or you work and live. You know, that is unconstitutional. That is something that, you know, essentially Congress offloaded their responsibilities. The reasons why we voted none, they've offloaded those responsibilities to the EPA. And again, the American people have no control over it, and we have to live by it. That's wrong. And secondly, Obamacare. Let me give you a little background on some of the taxes that are being exacted in order to help with Obamacare. And this affects mostly your outdoorsmen. Is every new arrow, carbon arrow out there, once everything goes into place, each arrow is going to be taxed at an extra 48 cents an arrow. That's a lot of money. When you start thinking about it, but you know, so, and then your fishermen, your fishing rods, your lures, they're all going to have an extra 10% tax on top of that. So Obamacare affects everybody, and people just don't realize it because it's not out there on the news. It's hard to understand. It's hard to read. You know, I went through the pages myself, and thank God I had a Heritage Foundation with me to sit there and explain it to me. I was on the phone with them off and on for three weeks at least, trying to understand exactly what's going to happen when the Obamacare is implemented, and it's very confusing. But you know, Obamacare hurts everybody. It's not going to help. It's not really going to help anybody. It's just going to hurt America more and more.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you know, you see all of these companies, of course, the big businesses getting waivers. Here we go with the cozy relationship between government and business and the fascism. So all of the crony capitalists are getting special deals. And it's just falling apart. I mean, companies all throughout the nation are not willing to hire full-time employees because they want to be exempt from the law. They're hiring contractors only. They're cutting hours, making everybody part-time, so they don't have to comply with all the massive regulations.
Well, you know, I mean, be careful what you ask for. That's what it comes down to. A lot of these businesses got behind Obama. I think it was going to be a great. Now you have union members out there saying, well, hold on. This isn't how I thought it was going to work. And so, yeah, no, it's, yeah, it's, if people don't have the proof in front of them now, I don't know if they'll ever understand it in the future. But, you know, this sweeping law called Obamacare is really going to be a detriment to the American people.
It sure is. Let's just watch it play out, and we can all say, see, I told you so, to the people who are the believers in it.
And unfortunately, it's going to hurt us in the long run, too. I tell you what, really what it comes down to, I'll leave you with this, is it all comes down to right and wrong. It really, and that's what my website's about. That's what I've been about all my life. I'm a very black and white individual, not a lot of gray in my life. And some people can live that way. Some people can't. And I know it rubs a lot of people the wrong way. And hell, I don't care. If I offend you, it happens. But really, we got to stop redefining right and wrong as it gets in our way. You know, Republicans and Democrats, neither party have a pigeonhole on doing what's right or what's wrong. It comes down to the individual. And really, what, you know, if they're going to maintain their integrity, or if they're going to, unfortunately, like most people, bend when it gets tough. And so, if people can start going back to right and wrong, people know what it is. Innately, they know what it is. They just don't like living that way because it's hard damn work. You know, that's what I told my son all his life. It's hard work doing what's right, but in the end, it does pay off. In the end, it will pay off. And we got to get back to that kind of thinking.
Yeah, I agree. Well, the website is joeforamerica.com, and that four is F-O-R spelled out, joeforamerica.com. And the tagline, as you alluded to, Joe, it's not about right and left, it's about right and wrong. Joe the Plumber, it was fantastic having you on the show today, and keep up the good work.
Hey, thank you very much, brother. Really enjoyed it.
What's great about the shows you'll find on jasonhartman.com is that if you want to learn about some cool new investor software, there's a show for that. If you want to learn why Rome fell, Hitler rose, and Enron failed, there's a show for that. If you want to know about property evaluation technology on the iPhone, there's a show for that. And if you'd like to know how to make millions with mobile homes, there's even a show for that. Yep, there's a show for just about anything. Only from jasonhartman.com, or type in Jason Hartman in the iTunes store.
Thank you for joining us today for the Holistic Survival Show, protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Be sure to listen to our Creating Wealth Show, which focuses on exploiting the financial and wealth creation opportunities in today's economy. Learn more at www.jasonhartman.com or search Jason Hartman on iTunes. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, offering very general guidelines and information. Opinions of guests are their own, and none of the content should be considered individual advice. If you require personalized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. Information deemed reliable, but not guaranteed.